Yeah, Lord, we just declare, Lord, that there's no other place we want to start this new year, Lord, than in your presence, God, and in your word. Father, we know that this is where life is, God, and in your presence. And we want to take this time consecrated to you, God. We lay aside whatever distracts us in the name of Jesus, Lord. Whatever consumes us sometimes, Lord, we lay it aside, Lord. We declare, we trust you with these things. And we know that you are faithful, God. And we thank you, God, that as we commit this time into your hands, Lord, we thank you that you're fashioning the image of Christ in us and through us. You're making us more like Jesus right now, Lord. And that's what we're trusting for, to be transformed, Lord. But not only that, Father, to be mobilized, to be your hands and feet, God. And we commit this time to you, Lord. Let your name be glorified, Lord. Let your name be lifted up, God. And let your kingdom come amongst us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's beginning of this new year. I want to ask a couple of questions. We at the Christmas service we briefly mentioned about how people often in this time of year people see a lot of nativity scenes, you know, you see a lot of Jesus in the manger type of thing. And that is unfortunately one of the things we wrestle with the world out there. People relate to God as a baby in a manger sometimes, or the other extreme, a dead guy on a cross. And so you know, we looked at that, and I want us to stand still this morning for a while, and at the beginning of this new year, and basically ask ourselves, who is this God in whom we trust? Who is the one? Who is this God, the one that we put our trust in, the one that we put our hope in, the one that we put our faith in? And is it someone that, as we see, sometimes we see a picture, or we see an image, or we see a nativity scene, or we see a crucifix, and we think, And that's kind of what we have in mind. Like often we see in the world, people kind of struggle to relate with a baby in a manger, and how can this be the creator of the universe? And on the other extreme, are we putting our hope in a God that of our own making? You know, is there an element in our lives of us creating for ourselves a God that is that fits in our box of what is comfortable and what is nice for us, and then we serve that God. So I'm not going to stand still too much of that this morning. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will do the work there. But I'm going to look at a few basic things around who is this God in whom we trust. Who is the God that we are at the beginning of the year saying, Lord, it's all about you. You are the center. You are the reason. You are the vision. Who is this? Who is this one? And at the beginning of this year, let's look. I'm going to look at a lot of scripture. Okay, so I'm going to be quick. But I'm just trusting the Holy Spirit to just cement that in our hearts. The beginning of this year, that as we run in this year, as we walk with God, as we step with the Spirit, that this will be the foundation of whatever we're doing, that this is the God that we serve, this is the God that we trust in, this is the God that we hope in. Amen. Are you with me? Okay. Let's look at some scripture. Firstly, the God in whom we trust. This God is the God who is the Creator. And let's quickly look at Genesis. Right at the beginning. In the beginning, is invisible. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Firstly, God is a creator God. He's still, and the amazing thing is, he still creates right now, today. Okay? He still creates in us, and he still creates through us, and he and he speaks stuff and things, and he speaks into being. And the amazing thing is, guys, that God has, because he's created us in his own image, he's also given us that power, the power of the tongue, the power of life and death. And at the beginning of this year, remember a week and a half ago, we spoke about the promises of God. We spoke about standing on those and trusting in those, but and the faithfulness of God. And I said, go and ask God, go and pray about what are the promises for you for this year. And I want to throw that out again. What are the things that you're going to be speaking into being this year? What are the things that you're going to be proclaiming over this year? What are the things that you and I are going to be declaring? The stuff that God puts on our hearts, but also the things that God has already promised, that God has already given us a guarantee of or a promise of. What are those things that you are proclaiming over this year? And I'm trusting this morning that all scriptures we're going to look at are going to direct those proclamations. Amen. In terms of how we expect from God. Amen. So he spoke it into being. Let there be light, and there was light. Okay. And now, just always just messes with our head, with my head, because God created light before the sun. All right. Just saying. And and he speaks it into being. He created it out of nothing, and I want to just throw this out there. There might be situations where that you find yourself in where there seems to be nothing, and there seems to be nothing on the horizon. And you know, people talk about a light at the end of the tunnel. At the moment, maybe you don't even there's like no light, or there's no, you don't even know where the tunnel is pointing. But God is the God in whom we trust. He's the one that creates out of nothing. That spoke it into being out of nothing. And that is still the God that we serve today. He still creates today. He creates perfectly. Let's quickly look at 1 John. At John 1. Okay, we're reading 1 John this week. This is John 1. All right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. All right, you can't get this wrong. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In the beginning, and this is part of the reason why we're going to get as much word into ourselves this year as we can, as a family, as a church family. God spoke out of nothing. He was there from the beginning, and nothing that was created, nothing that we see today is here without his input, without every good and perfect gift comes from him. Okay, and he, even when he created man, he breathed life into us. The very life that in ourselves is from God. The very fiber of your being comes from him. And I want to just throw that out there again, that when the enemy comes with accusations and comes with lies about who you are in Christ, remember this thing, that you were shaped in your mother's womb. He put you together. God, before the big foundation of the earth, knew you and had his plan in place. Written down every day of your life. When I look at David now, he's, what is he, 15 months? I can't keep track. He was one in September, okay? So, hey, it's his birthday tomorrow. Well, he's born on the 5th, okay? So somebody work out quickly. Anyway, his personality is just developing in an amazing way. And it's so beautiful to see. It's so different from his sister. And it's beautiful because you can see God's genius and his miraculous power of creating this being uniquely. It's so amazing. And guys, I want to throw that out there, that there is no one on this earth that is like you. Okay, you're made in the image of God, and God has got something very specific planned for you as part of his big picture. I know the world, you know, especially London is bad at this. we get in the rut, we get in the race. Even in the few holidays, we were in the city once or twice, and it was like still the rat race. You know, it's like I think the people that commute are like so used to it that they have to do it like that. You know, it's like go, go, go down the escalator. You know, down running and like yeah, charging. I'm like, ah, come on, take a break. You know, it's holiday. Any case, it's so easy to just run into that rut. What I would say to you, don't try to be somebody else this year. Be everything that God has created you to be. Walk in the fullness of His inheritance for you every day. And for the good works that He has prepared for you beforehand to walk in. Amen. He spoke it out of nothing and He can do that today. And for you this year, and I want to say, partner with God this year and speak His word into your situation, into your community, into your sphere of influence, into your relationships. Proclaim His word. Speak that creative word into those situations. Amen. Okay. Just a moment. Sorry. Okay, let's continue. The God in whom we trust is a God who loves unendingly. It's good news, people. 1 John 4, 7-11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. I'm just going to pause there. I remember this is such a powerful thing that happened in my life when I was a teenager. I was attending a youth church youth thing. And it was just the guys, right? We had the boys or the guys, the young men aside for the evening. And we were talking about love, right? This is a deep thing for teenage boys to talk about. And young men. But it was so profound because we were talking about, you know, how can you define it and how can you get, what does it really mean and stuff like that. And obviously, we were all clueless. But then the bottom line was that God is love. That's the way we got to the end of the evening. And it was such a powerful revelation to me at that point, just to understand that you can try and define it, but God is the definition of love. If you have to measure love, God is the measure. Are you with me? So let's just read that with that context. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifest toward us, that God had sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Very powerful, yeah, guys. Let me throw this out to you at the beginning of this year, that the most important thing is not how we love Him, but how He has first loved us. Amen? It's not a matter of, I'm going to do my best, I'm going to pray more, I'm going to read more scripture, I'm going to do these things, and God is going to love me more. He loved us first, and He loved you first, and He loved me first. And that is why I can respond and love Him back. And freely, we have been loved, freely we can love others. And I just want to thank Francois John for their testimony and that encouragement. Like, it's such small things that demonstrate that love, people. I want to encourage you this year, be like a sponge that is so full of water. Anybody just touches you, the love of God just comes out. Anybody that comes close to you, they get love. And it's not only in what we say, it's the little things. The other day we had some cupcakes left over. You know those ones that Anna makes? Yo. Anyway, I think I must take a break from cupcakes for a while. But anyway, so we took some to the neighbors. Just because. And I think, I don't know what they think, because we're still trying to connect with them a bit. But that demonstrates that we care. And especially because they're so good. But those little things, you don't have to, again, don't worry about the... But that even that saying, how are you doing? How are things? Who are you? That demonstrated, I care about you. I care And God cares. Amen. And freely, freely we have been loved. Freely we have received that love. Freely give it. Amen. This is the God that we love, the God that we follow, the God we trust, is the one that loves unendingly. Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together. His love is demonstrated in the cross. His love is demonstrated in that while we were dead in our trespasses. And if you know somebody that's dead, love them this year so that they can taste and see that God is good. Taste and that his goodness leads them to repentance. His love covers us. His love surrounds us. His love affirms us. His love is what defines us. And it's such a, I see it already in Abigail. It's so powerful what I can proclaim over her and demonstrate to her. She's a very affectionate person, so I have to get all over all my space issues. I had to already like 3 years ago. So, you know, because she needs lots of hugs, but I love giving her hugs and she loves giving them back. But you know what? There's such a powerful place where we can demonstrate and affirm. And the same with, but the same thing with how we receive the love of God. And I want to challenge you with that. Receive his love for you. Let that be the base of who you are this year. Receive his love. Receive his affection. Receive his affirmation. We tend to, I find how many, I speak to so many people. When I ask them, how does God speak to you? Or how do you hear him? It's often we just hear the rebukes, or we hear the correction, or we hear, like, you know, the telling off parts, you know, or that we hear. It's weird. It's as if we have a filter. The enemy comes and puts in a filter, and all we hear is God when he corrects us or when he puts us straight. Often, and I want to say, get rid of that filter and trust God to hear. Because most of his communication is affirmation. Most of his communication is love and grace and affirmation. Are you with me? Amen. So let's get rid of the filter. And let's revel in that. Let's revel in that love that he has so powerfully demonstrated. Romans 8, this is, I'm just going to throw this in there. You all know this one. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That love empowers us to be conquerors. Let that love be what makes us conquerors this year. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. 2015, whatever may come. Nor angels, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The key there is that love is in Christ. So it is through him that we receive that love. It's through Christ that we access it, that we walk in it, that we live in it. And very powerfully, I want to post a Fred, probably a sermon on this, but to mention it, that this verse speaks of a plural. Okay, and obviously God loves us each as individuals, but the love of God towards us is most powerful and most powerfully manifested when we are us. Nothing will separate us. Okay, I can go a lot into that, but make sure that you're part of the us this year. Make sure that you're part of the family. Make sure that you are positioned in a place of safety, in a place where that love, where you truly cannot be separated from that love. Okay. Zephaniah 3. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Now, I know for some of you, this is difficult, okay? Maybe the guys. Not only the guys. This is the truth. This is the God that we trust in. He doesn't only tolerate you. Amen. He rejoices over you. When last somebody danced for joy just because they see you? My children do that. Just saying. Abby. But just imagine that. Just imagine this. Somebody is so pleased to see you, they do a little, they rejoice. Somebody is so blessed with who you are. And this is not just somebody. This is the King. This is Him. This is the Creator. This is how He loves us. He rejoices over you. He celebrates you. He celebrates not only you right now. He celebrates you laying down your life for Him this year. In every day, in many things. He celebrates that. He celebrates as He did with the disciples, washing their feet. At that stage, they were a bunch of losers, to be honest. I can say that because I'm also one without Christ. Okay, but He washes their feet and He celebrates that they where they've come from, but He also mostly celebrates where they're going to. Mighty men laying down their lives for the gospel. He celebrates us. He celebrates. He rejoices over you with gladness. He quiets you with His love. And He rejoices over you with singing. This is the God that we trust in. This is the love that He has for you and for us as a family, as a church family. He rejoices over us. Okay. The God we trust in is the one who forgives completely. And maybe it's difficult to receive the fact that God is not only tolerant of you, and because of what Christ did, He's like, okay, yo, I tolerate you, but sit in the corner type of thing. Okay, sometimes we relate to God like that. Okay, I can be here, but I can just sit in the corner. I'm barely made it type of thing. It's not like that. Okay, He celebrates. But that ties in with the fact that He forgives absolutely, completely. That there is no half measures in the forgiveness that God shows toward us. And therefore also in the forgiveness that we are able to give others. Amen. Let's look at Psalm 103. Go and read the whole psalm if you're able to today. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Now, if you do some calculations to measure how far the east is from the west, this is deliberately designed to trick you because this is an infinite number. Okay? It's not designed to trick you, it's designed to make us see how great His forgiveness is, how complete it is. It means that it is no longer there. And the thing that gets me always is, you know, when this we understand. We understand that, I know I use this illustration a lot, that it's like you had a fine against your name, right? And Jesus paid the fine. But this is not the same as a traffic fine, guys. Say, for instance, the other day, I got a parking ticket. Those things, praise the Lord. This is a new year. Amen? And the thing is, these days, they document the thing. You know, I don't know if you know how this works, but they take photos of everything. And they take photos, and it's there, and you can't escape, but the proof is there. Your car was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, and they take a photo of your car and the instruction. And they, you know, they do everything, so there's no chance. The problem is, it's clear that you are guilty, right? And it'll never change, because there it is. You can pay the fine, but you will have nothing more required of you, but you are still guilty, right? God says, in Christ, we are found blameless. And you see the difference? He not only pays the fine, He removes the guilt. There's a difference there. It's difficult for some to receive, okay? But that is the power of the forgiveness of Christ through the blood of Jesus. He not only takes away the repercussion, and He removes the guilt, and He removes the blame. Yeah, I need you to think on that a bit. That's how complete His forgiveness is. Hebrews 10, this is the covenant, from 16 to 18, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. The remission for our sin, the remission of sins has happened through the blood of Christ. There's no more offering needed. I spoke to somebody again lately that they feel they have to punish themselves. They have to do something. They have to do penance. They have to somehow suffer because of their sin. And in some perverted way, they think they are coming closer to God and they are more acceptable to God because they inflict this punishment upon themselves. And I want to say to you, if there's any way that you are doing this, what you're actually doing, or what people out there are doing, is that they are saying that Christ died for nothing. They are making the blood of Christ cheap. Are you with me? Because the blood is sufficient. You cannot add anything to that. You cannot add. It's like when somebody gives you the most amazing gift, and you're saying, "Yo, if you could have just given me that bit as well." You know, how does that person feel? this is not a powerful enough example, but Christ's blood and his sacrifice, he gave everything. He paid in full. And there's nothing you and I can add to that. Amen. Let's look at this next one. Colossians 2:13-15. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. I want to focus there on that part, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us. Now, that fine, that the guilt, the proof. So that's like the high-end writing of requirement, like saying, guys, you cannot escape this. You are guilty. You are sinful. There's the evidence. You can't get around it. You've been born in sin, okay? All of that accusation, all that handwriting of requirement is wiped clean. Now, I don't know about you. Sometimes we feel we need a fresh start. Eh? Who feels like that sometimes? You know, just clean. Yeah. It's just, you know, so even just, as I say, change, a bit of change, a bit of, you know. Who I want to ask the beginning of this year, who needs that? And who kind of has it like a back in the mind? I like to, in some areas of my life, just to make just a clean start or have a fresh start. You know, I want us to give good news for you this morning. That the forgiveness of God means there is a complete clean slate for you through Christ. And if there is an area in your life that you feel, geez, it'd be nice to just start again. Just receive that forgiveness and receive his grace, because it is here for you through the blood of Christ. This is the God that we trust in. It's the one that says, my mercies are new every morning. And guys, this is the challenge, because the enemy is the complete opposite. His job is to accuse. His job is to nail us. His job is to accuse us day and night and throw us back into the past and completely, you know, remind us of the stuff from the past. But God says, I've given you a fresh start. And this is not only a once off. It is a once off paid for it, but daily his mercies are new. Daily we can receive that fresh start. If you need it, it's there daily. Amen. I'm not saying throw them to do what you want. Okay. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, if you feel this is a new year, I need a fresh start, I need a clean slate, then grab hold of the forgiveness of God through Christ. Grab hold of the fullness of his love. And may that be what launches you into this year with joy, with expectation of this love, this God we serve, this God that we hope in, this God that we trust in. His forgiveness is complete in Christ. He's disarmed the powers and principalities that come against us. He's triumphed over them. He's made a spectacle of them. Nothing can stand against him. Receive that clean slate. Receive that fresh start. There's no more condemnation. If there's condemnation in your life, I'm not talking about conviction. Holy Spirit will convict us of stuff, right? The will of God in our lives. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that thing that makes you feel like a worm. Like poo. Like David says, he's got a new word now. Poo-poo. And then he laughs. Anyways, listen, we can talk about that another time. When you have babies, you must be careful not to... any case. So, Tash chosen, that is one of his first words. Praise the Lord. Okay. God as, you know, the enemy, that's his job. He's his accuser. And I want to say, one of the most powerful things for me is the fact that Christ right now, he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He rules. And he reigns. He's no longer on the cross. He's no longer in the grave. He's risen from the dead. And right now, Scripture just says, right now, he's making intercession for you and I. Who can have a better lawyer than that? Who can have a better representative that is at the Father right now making intercession for you and I? Representing us before the Father as his bride. Making intercession for us. It's powerful. Don't accept those accusations. Don't accept that negative stuff. Receive his forgiveness. Receive the fullness of it. Amen. Okay, let's finish. The God that we trust in is the God who empowers us for victory. He empowers us for victory. Okay, let's quickly look at Joshua 1. I'm going to quickly scan through this. This is the... Joshua has been the servant of Moses for a couple of years. He's been very faithful, but this is the time for him to step up. Moses is dead. And they're about to go into the promised land. They're about to go into a new thing, right? New year for us. And this is the word of God to Joshua. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give to you. As I said to Moses, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. This is true for us today. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. His inheritance for you has not disappeared. Amen. It's still there. It's every day for us to grab hold of. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right, to the hand, or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The book, the word of God, let's put it in, guys. Let that empower us to be victorious this year. Let that be, meditate on a day and night. Let that be what fills us and what comes out in the right moments. Amen. Be strong and be of good courage. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Sometimes it feels like that, right? In the middle of a storm, in the middle of a crisis, Lord, have you forsaken me? He said, no, I'm still here. In the boat, even when in the storm, and Jesus, one of Abby's, she loves that account. And there's a nice picture of Jesus sleeping, and then the disciples waking him up. I don't know, your Bibles don't have pictures. That's boring, eh? Anyway, so, and then, you know, she gets this thing, that, you know, he's not worried. He's with us, and I mean, he's in your boat. Psalm 18. 28:30, for you will be my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. This is the God we trust in. This is the God who is our lamp. He enlightens our darkness. For by you I can run against the troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Without, this is the God that we trust in. It's the God of the impossible. The God that makes the impossible things possible. The God by which David says, I can run against a whole troop, a whole squadron, or a whole you know, basically a division of an army. I can run against them. I can jump over a wall. So he's basically saying the stuff that was previously impossible for me, with God, it's possible. So I want to say to you, if there are big mountains in your way this year, if there are things that seem insurmountable, then I say to you that this God that we serve is the God of the impossible. Angus Buchan, he says something about, he says that, I'm going to probably quote it wrong now, but a great impossibility is a potential for a great miracle. So if there are great impossibilities in your life this year, let's put our faith together, guys. And don't walk this alone. Don't walk this thing alone. Share with your small group. Share those impossibilities and let us trust the God of the impossible. Amen? With him, all things are possible. Where God is the limit, there is no limit. He is the one we trust in. He is the one we put our faith in. I'm just feeling that there's a battle in some hearts going on now. There's a battle in the mind. I want to trust you. I want to encourage you this morning to even though your mind is telling you otherwise, to receive the word. Amen? And to some of you will have to go and meditate on these scriptures a bit to be able to just make it your own. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Nothing will come near you. Position yourself in the protection and the love of God. Next one, 8. You shall receive, this is God, this is Christ right before he ascends into heaven, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. I want to encourage you again. I said it the other day. If this is not a habit in your life to pursue, actively pursue your relationship with Holy Spirit, actively pursue the gifts. Paul says, desire spiritual gifts. I want to say to you, I want to agree with Paul. Desire spiritual gifts. Okay, we are a charismatic church, but I don't care about labels and things. Let us be a New Testament church. Let us pursue Holy Spirit. Let's pursue God here with us right now. And that means I want to encourage you to pray in the Spirit, guys. Pray in the Spirit. Build up your faith. Build up your spirit. That is what empowers. That is the power that has us be victorious. Okay, success can be measured in a million ways. Okay, the world around us will want to define what success is to us. For me, success is mostly being obedient to God. Amen. But being victorious in life, reigning in life, as Scripture puts it, means being empowered by the Spirit and walking in step with the Spirit and laying our lives down and having him live through us. I no longer live, you know, but Christ lives in me. Amen. Okay. And then 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I'll rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, often when one talks about grace, we get this thing all muddled up, and there's this teaching going around. Sometimes people call it extreme grace or whatever. And the guys are going for it, and it's amazing, but they just grace all the time. And they grace so much that everything else goes out the window. And then people get very familiar with God and do what they want, and they go into lawlessness. It's actually crazy. But What is powerful to me is the fact that when we look at Christ, who is the embodiment of grace, right, coming to earth, he says, at a point in the scripture, he says, you have seen it, you have you've read, it is written, and then he says, for instance, thou shalt not commit adultery. Right? And then he says, and that is the law. All right? The previous dispensation, that we were under the law. But now we were under grace. So, I mean, that's just the thing people say. Okay, so now we're no longer under the law. We don't worry about that stuff now. We're under grace. And the extreme there is people go into the forward place where they just kind of do what they want. Okay, so Christ says, the law says this. Yeah, this is the standard. But I say to you, and then he goes, and he doesn't throw it out, guys. He actually puts it there. He says, the law says, do not commit adultery. I say to you, if you have looked in lust, you've committed adultery. Do you see that? And I don't want, this is not a condemnation thing. This is saying, in Christ, he empowers us with his grace. He empowers us to be holy. He empowers us to live victoriously. So he's saying that I'm not throwing away the law. I fulfilled the law. So if you are in Christ, if you're in me, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, then you are empowered to be like Christ. You are empowered to live victorious. You are empowered to live a full life. Isn't that amazing? So the grace of God is not something, it's not a band-aid. The grace of God is not a thing that we hide and, you know, and it's something that empowers us. Obviously, yes, the grace covers, but it's also something that empowers us to be like him and to be with him and to live the fullness of a life that he has prepared for us. Amen, guys. This is the God that we serve this year. This is the one we trust in. This is the one whose grace is sufficient for me to receive that fullness of life and to live it every day. Is the one who, and some of sometimes at the beginning of the year, we do the resolution thing. We say, okay, you know, these are the areas. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to make it happen. And that's all great. But don't put your faith in your ability to fix it. Right? Let your strength be in him this year. Let our strength be in the fact that when I'm weak, he is strong in me. As I realize, as I humble myself and I say, God, I'm weak in this area. I struggle here. Oh, this is a problem. This is a challenge. Come and let your strength be made perfect in me right here, right now. I'm struggling to have faith for this thing. But God, help me to believe. I'm struggling to see what you're telling me to do now. I don't know how it's going to happen. But let your grace is sufficient for me. I mean, your provision for this, what you're calling me to do, is sufficient. How often have I heard of great men of God? I remember a guy like Reinhard Bonnke, very well-known evangelist that preaches literally to millions at the time. The Lord came to him once in many years ago with an assignment to have a lot of gospel tracts printed, and it was went all over Europe at least. But we're talking millions and millions and millions, and he was like, "Shoo, that's I don't know if this is of God. This is a bit ridiculous. You know, it seems so huge." And then he just felt Lord saying, okay, "You're not the first guy." Oh, type of thing. And then he's like, and then he said, "Okay, yes." But let that grace be sufficient that even the big challenges that God throws upon our path, the stuff not only that deals with who we are and how we're being made more like Christ, but the stuff that he throws up, that he gives us, that he entrusts to us, to say, my son, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to pray for in your company. This is what I want you to establish in your community. The stuff that blows our minds and we think, wow, surely this is a crazy thought. This can't be of God. That is the stuff that his grace is sufficient for as well. That his provision is perfect for. And you must actually read the testimony of Reinhard Bonnke, because he sat in a little church in Wales, I think it was somewhere, and randomly, or he was ministering, and randomly he was connected to an old man who was sitting at the back of the church for years. Nobody knew really who this guy was. Meantime, he's like in charge of one of the biggest, I think, paper and ink or something conglomerates of the world. So he says, no problem, I'll sponsor this and this and this, just like that, for this assignment that he had to do. And so I want to say to you, don't put a lid on what you expect from God this year. His kingdom coming in our community. His kingdom coming in our families. We know, I don't know where the rest are this morning, but let's not put a let's put our expectation upon what He wants to do and His provision for it. Amen. We're not going to limit Him this year. We're going to the God that we trust in. His strength is made perfect even in our weakness. I found the times that I'm the most weak, even in the flesh, and I feel like there's that thing happening. That's the times that God is able to use me most powerfully. But there's a place of saying, Lord, I cannot do this. I'm unable. But I know You are able. The moment you were going to a meeting or going to a situation, you know, this is way above my head. This is, I'm out of my depth here. Maybe it's a relational challenge. Maybe it's a work thing. Whatever it is, maybe it's something with the children. I feel like that a lot with the children. Lord, this is, I need Your help right now. I'm weak here. I don't have a clue. But God is able. Amen. Let's stand this morning. This morning, there's a few things I feel we need to pray through. I want to remind you of my encouragement to ask God about His word for you this year, and to ask God for scripture, to ask God for promises, because and then to write them down, and then to remind God of them, and remind yourself. Amen. So, if you haven't done that, I want to really encourage you. Take time out to do that, to just engage with God and say, Lord, give me some word, give me something that's on Your heart for me for this year, for my family, for my situation. Okay? And then stand on that thing, stand on that promise, stand on that prophecy, whatever that God gives you. And then specifically I felt this morning, if there's an area of your life, as we mentioned, that do you feel, wow, I just need a fresh beginning in this thing. And I'm dropped the ball, or things haven't gone as I thought or as I was hoping for, or whatever that is. It might even be something that you're struggling with in terms of sin. It might be something that you're struggling with at work. I just feel to just bring that thing before God this morning and receive a fresh start. And receive the fact that He forgives completely and His mercies are new. Every morning. I mean, let's close our eyes. Father, we thank You, God.